So I want to speak to you today, if you're visiting with us. I'd call this message like a word in season. Sometimes people are teaching through text, sometimes they're preaching, and I would call this a word in season. I want to try and set you up for what's ahead of you. Can you stand with me just for a moment? Because I want to drink some water. Not really. I do just want to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for everybody in the room. Lord, thank you for people that are not, that are going to hear the podcast. And Lord, I can bring my best, but there's a work that only you can do. I recognize that. We all do. And so now I pray you do that work that I think you're up to today in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Yeah. You're able to get done what we never could. You're able to move hearts in ways we can't imagine. You work in the unseen realm that we have no clue about. And so we thank you today. I thank you that you're going to build your church. You're going to rally your people. You're going to do what you can only do, that more people are in your kingdom, more people are discipled. We see more people on the other side of this life in eternity in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's do this. What if where things are at right now for you as a church, what if this is not all there is? What if this is not all there is? And I meet lots of pastors, and the truth is that in their heart, where it is what they believe truly, actually, where it'll always be. And they might not say that because they're pastors. They're not allowed to. But they believe that if you watch their actions and listen to their words. But what if around here, where it's at, is not all there is? What if God is up to more than where we are right now? And so, you know, context, that's my entire life. Every time we get to the end of a season, I'm like, God, okay, what are you doing now? And he opens up a new door, and at 52, like you're inclined to cruise. Lots of guys my age start to cruise. And I'm like, God, I never want to be the person that gets in the comfort zone and cruises to the end. I've got a theory that I want my body to give out before my will to reach one more person and raise one more church does. And that, honestly, that's what I pray all the time. Like, God, I'm in, reach one more person, raise one more church. Keep that fire on the inside of me, because the moment that fire's not there, I'm worried you'll take me home, and I don't want to be done just yet. Give me another 30 years. And so as we're here today, I don't think this is all there is. I don't think where it's at is all there is. And nor do I think this other thing that creeps into church think, and that is, oh, we're just in the not yet zone. And so I want to help you today. I want to talk about the God appointed beyond that I believe that God is calling you as a church to. Not sometime soon, but right now, right here. And this message is strong in me. I believe that that's where you are. And then it starts here, it's about next, and that God's up to something. And think about who he is. Think about the God that, if you're a Christian, we love and serve. Even if you're not a Christian, you might not know him yet. You might still love him, and you just haven't got there yet, and you're right at the door, and I hope you'll go there today. But think about the God we serve. He's the God of Ephesians 3:20 potential and ability. The God who can do way beyond all we ask, think, or imagine. Let me give you a little example. I don't know if you know, we just moved house. And so we're planting what is for the chapel. Is it Seventh Church? Or Bron is, really. Bron's really planting it. I'm helping her. And it's about 25 people gathered there for that. And so that's starting. It launches properly at Easter. And so I had this daydream a few years ago. And in this daydream, I'm in this town that I never thought I'd live in. And I'm in this apartment with an elevated view. And I'm an old man. I imagine that I'm 82. If you're young, you're thinking, Darren, you're there now. No, I'm imagining I'm about 82 years old in this daydream. It's pretty young. I'll be saying that then too. And I'm 82, I'm sitting in my chair, I'm looking out from this apartment at this aspect, and one of my children, I couldn't tell which one in the daydream, whispers in my ear, Dad, it's happening. All the seed, revival is happening. And I have these two things that I work on. One is building the church, and we work obviously with the chapel, but a whole lot of regional churches to do the same now. And the other is seeding the renewal of the next generation. We're just about to announce the pilot for that. But we're announcing a pilot for Christian-based holiday care that we can run out across the country. Because my parents, they went to Sunday school. And my generation went to scripture, but not Sunday school. And the generation born now don't go to Sunday school, and they have to opt into scripture. And so that's kind of the context. And I had this daydream, and one of my children whispered in my ear, Dad, it's happening. The whisper of revival. And I'm like, I just hold that little daydream in my heart. Well, anyway, we move house. I've forgotten all about the dream. And once we signed the lease, a day later, I realize I'm in the street. I'm in the highest story apartment in that street. And I'm looking out at the exact aspect that I imagined in that daydream. And I went, well, I don't know what anyone else thinks, God, but I'm up for the next 30 years to see that. And I already drag my chair before anybody wakes up. And I sit in that place and I pray. On the few days that I'm there, the rest of the time I'm somewhere else. But on the few days that I'm there and I start to pray, I'm like, God, I'm in. And I think that you as a church have a God appointed beyond that God is calling you to now. I think it's here, it's now, it's happening, it depends what you do next. And so I want to help you with that today. I want to talk about how we go after the beyond God calls us to. And as we do that, there's so much potential in the room. I know you can see that. But he's the God who's, at one point, he's the Ephesians 3:20 God, and yet he's a God in relentlessly in pursuit of one. And he's a God who holds back the end and culmination of time just because he wants none to perish. So sure, there are churches that reach their limits, but God's intent is that his kingdom grows. So he's always looking for churches where they have that potential, that capacity within them for God to expand his kingdom, because his church is how he builds. And so I think that's in front of this church now. And it's interesting that I can say that, because in 2019, when we first got here, we couldn't say that. We couldn't say it in 2020 and COVID. We couldn't say it in repeat year, 2021. But in this moment, right now, we can look across and go, I think we're there right now. I think there's a next level beyond that what God would call you as a church to go after. And so I want to speak to that today. And because here's what I know. There's so much potential, but you could settle here. You could settle here because although it's not perfect, it's comfortable. Some good people, you can find a friend, coffee's pretty good. Maybe, no, it's not actually, is it? Okay, the coffee's not good, we can improve that. The worship's good, preaching most weeks good, your pastor cares, you've got transformed facilities. It can get pretty comfortable if you find your little group of friends. And yet God calls us not to settle in the not yet zone, but to go after what I would call the next level place, the God-appointed future. And so how do we go after that? And I think that's the choice for us today. Is, am I going to settle here in the not yet zone, just do what I do, the way I do it, and all of that? Or is there something in me that's responsive to the Holy Spirit? And I'd call this a hear what the Spirit's saying kind of message. And I know I don't sound like a prophet or look like a prophet, but I think it's prophetic. And so hear what the Spirit says to his church as we stand in this moment. And so how we go after the beyond that God calls us to. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1 to 3. Going to come on the screen as it does. It says, sing, O barren, you who are not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. I mean, he just reminding us all that he's a God of the impossible and that he's not bound by our limitations. And then he says, enlarge the place of your tent to his people, stretch out the curtains of your dwelling, do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. And years ago, God spoke this into my heart, on my knees at the front of the church building when our church was 15 people. I preached on it, 2 people left, we're down to 13, and then you look today and it's actually happened. Happened in Tamworth and it started to happen elsewhere, and I don't know what the future for that all is. That's God. It's his church, not mine. But what I will say is that God has, in his wisdom, decided to bring that to pass from a barren state that looked impossible to this moment here. And so yeah, wherever we're coming from, the thought here is, number one, is to see the beyond potential, see the next level potential of here as a church. As you look around, can you see it? Just look around at the people in this room. Can you see it? Like it's here, not here, here. And there's so much potential just sitting in the room today. And, you know, who would have thought Zoe when she was 10? Who would have thought even this moment? Who can imagine the next? Who can? It's not about how big a thing is. It's not about the scale of a thing. It's about what God's doing. And so, but you look in this room. Some of you, I was greeted by my friend Sam on the way in. I mean, how many guys could he actually disciple? Like, it's ridiculous. And then there's you, and then there's me, and there's Kerry, and there's Andy, and there's everybody else. And there's so much potential in this room. And the incredible thing about this room that's unique to this room is there's not only potential for an enlarging church here. Of course, there are still churches to build in the regions because there are towns without great churches. There's expansive room for us to send and to raise churches beyond here. But in this room, uniquely, is the ability to seed and send people globally, to plant local churches and to bless local churches. There's that much potential sitting in this room right now. I don't know if I explained it here. I don't think so. And they run a thing in Tamworth. Some guys run a thing. The Driver Revivers, you remember those? Well, it's now run by the church in Tamworth. And the guy who leads it is in our church. And he used to be my boss when I was a young guy and just doing a regular job. And I saw him there as I was driving somewhere. So I stopped and I said hi. And I said, Frank, how many people have been in today? He said, oh, about 40 a day. And so I went, that's awesome. And I left and I went, okay, 40 a day, every holiday. That's 200 a week, weekdays. That's 280 a week, right? Sorry, my maths is getting shaky at 280, 7 times 40. They, 280, right? Run that out, the holiday weeks of the year, and then run that out beyond Frank's tenure for the next decade. And we're talking about Tamworth, we're talking about people that come from here and beyond our region and Western Australia and Broome in Darwin. And I want you to think about every one of those singular threads that seem like nothing on a regular day when they give them coffee, God bless you, maybe pray for them, hand them some questions they can ask in the question. And it seems like nothing until you draw all the lines on a map over the next decade and go, oh my gosh, how many seeds have gone out into just from a Driver Revivers on the outskirts of the Armidale Road in Tamworth. So think about this room and the potential in this room, in this community and across this region and beyond this nation. And so there's so much potential here, and I want you to see that. But I am talking specifically about your church. And there's so much potential here. This is not all there is. And where it's at is a great celebration. I was sitting in my chair just celebrating all over again, going, this is incredible. What a story. But even as we celebrate, at some point we move into the next and go, okay, God, there's next level beyond here. You only need to look at how much ground is still left outside to know that is true. And so there's next level beyond. That's number one, can you see it and start to dream? Number two, Kerry will speak to all of that in a couple of weeks on Vision Sunday because she understands the specifics and the nuance and all of that. Number two, and I think the key is turning limiting ceilings into platforms God builds on. I know this is not a heavy Bible message today, but you get heavy Bible message pretty regularly. This is an orientation message. Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. And so every church has a natural capacity level, like now. And it has hyper-extended limits. I'll explain what I mean. When there was just Tamworth, we had this idea that I felt God gave me that we'd be 350 people in 3 years. I knew mathematically that didn't happen in a regional setting, not from 60 and in 3 years. I knew that that didn't calculate regionally. But I thought, I feel like this is God. And so I told everyone. And then I got in a room with our board and said, what does that look like on a human level? What do we have to do? What has to shift? And to the Sunday, because we track it, to the Sunday, 353 people in church on the Sunday. To the Sunday, 3 years later. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me about some other things. And I was literally driving here in December or November 2019 when all of that had come to pass. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me about 10 strong. I'm like, 10 strong, okay. Let's build for 10 campuses. How does that work? What does that look like? And of course, that didn't look like it was happening at 3. But here we are. Suddenly we're waking up at 7 and you can start to believe and go, oh, hang on. And so this is what God does. He asks us to look at where we're at and the limiting ceiling on what is, because there's a natural capacity level of every church. and its hyperextended limits and go, okay, well, what if God turns that into a platform he can build on? Because that's what he does. He takes the limiting ceilings in a season, and if we're responsive, he turns them into platforms it can build on. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them, or it says, let them, but you stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Don't spare. Lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. And my mum grew up, 9 siblings in all there were, but at one stage she grew up 7 of them all at home with 2 parents and a grandparent in a 2-bedroom fibro home. And who knows, that has limits. Actually, they were past their limits, but you know what I mean. That it has limits. But if you move them out into a mansion, suddenly we have expansive potential to house all kinds of people. And it's the same with the church. And so it's this idea captured in Exodus 23. Stay with me. Verse 31, you've heard me share this, but I wanted you to see the principle. So God's speaking to Moses, not for the first time about the promise, but the first time since he's given him the Jethro encounter. So now he has a context of there's a work for them to do to build in the exponential potential that is next. And he says, I'm going to establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea and from the desert to the Euphrates River. I want to give into your hands the people who live in the land and you will drive them out before you. It's this large, expansive, impossible promise. And so God speaks this next level beyond promise to them. But in verse 29 and 30, he says, little by little, I will drive them out before you. Little by little, as you have increased enough to take possession of the land. He's like, I've got this incredible promise. You could never pull it off. And the timeline for it is as you can handle it. And so when I read that, that changed my life because I'm like, okay. So if I just sit in the not yet zone, waiting for something to go on, there are limits to what can go on, not because God's not able or that he's not willing, but because we're not ready for it. And if we tried to handle it now, I would crumble as a leader. The church would be frustrated and people would fall through the cracks. But if we will do our work, the run the cords out and strengthen the stakes and run them deep, drive them deep, if we will do that work in enlarging the tent, God will do what only he can do in winning people to himself and building his church. And then God moves. He does because he's able. Some of you have seen God move. Some of you have seen what he's done even in recent times around here. And so, but there is a work for us to do. And enlarge takes a running of the cords, which looks different everywhere. And what does that look like here? What does that mean for all of us here? Because there is a beyond to go after, but there's a next level to build in. And so I want to, that's really important to catch. There's a beyond to go after, but that has a next level to build in. Does that make sense? And here's one of the things I noted, you know, different times when we've taken on different churches, there'll always be a group of people when we arrive who are praying for revival, like every time. But that revival prayer needs to convert to revival prayer and faith action. And sometimes I would find that the people that prayed for revival were the people that wouldn't go there. And I'd have the conversation, say, hey, listen, can we talk about this? Because I'm with you. Only reason I'm doing this is because I believe in revival. I believe that God can build revival in a local way, in a global way, in a national way. But revival needs something from us. Enlarge the tent was a revival, was an expansion, explosion. But it needed them to run the cords. It needed them to strengthen the stakes. And so we need the prayers because God responds to the prayer, but we also need the labor that says, hey, we'll do the work of running the cords and of driving deep the stakes. And so I'm not sure what that looks like exactly around here. I could guess at a few things. But of course, Kerry will speak to that in the next few weeks at Vision Sunday. But it's about turning ceilings into platforms. That's number two. Number three, again, it's connected to this. Don't spare, lengthen your cords. It's talking about, and so to do that, how we go after the beyond that God calls us to is those ceilings and platforms. It's really simple. It's to be the capacity. It's not rocket science, is it? It's like you and I going, yeah, I'll be the one. In our Isaiah text, it comes down to the person who will run out the cords and drive deep the stakes. In Nehemiah, it came down to people who would build their part of the wall. in Exodus. It came down to people who would step up to lead as Moses stepped out of what he was doing. In Acts 6, again, it was people stepping up to steward the space of the widows that freed up the apostles to prayer and preach and teach, which seemed like an easy gig comparatively. Certainly had more glory attached. But, you know, it changed what was possible. It made room for what was needed and for God to move. And so, and this has been the, really, I just try and keep my heart, find out what God's doing, and build capacity for it. Doesn't sound very pastoral, but we've got great pastors. My job is, what's God doing? Try and lead us there, and then build capacity that helps us position for what's possible with God. And this principle runs deep in me, this idea that if we create capacity, we change what's possible with God. If we create capacity, we change what's possible with God. Because that's how he works. That's what he does. And if you and I will determine today, I'm going to be the capacity that changes what's possible with God, something that only God can do can go on. And so there's that choice before us all, you know, inevitably now. And maybe you're a student, you just moved to town. I have no idea. Everyone's looking younger as I get older. But if you're a student and you just moved to town, hey, honestly, don't put yourself in the not yet zone. The one thing I told our daughter, our eldest daughter, who's now at uni and son's about to start, but she's just about to finish, and we said, hey, don't take a year. Get involved in a local church. I don't care what university you go to. Go to whatever university you like. Tell me the local church you're going to and get involved. And 3 years later, her career's going well. She's finished uni just nearly. And she's thriving in a local church, but contributing to it, thriving. And so if you're just here, you're just new, don't listen to the lie that you're in the not yet zone. Now's the time. You're the person. This is the place. And so let's get it done. Let's be part of what God's doing. And so how do you go after it? Three, just determine you're going to be the capacity. Talk to Kerry. Find out what that is. Don't bring the latest ministry dream you've got. And so I'm not talking about doing your own thing. You can still do your own thing. Go do your own thing. But in turn, I'm talking about the local church and all it can be. Find out what it is and be the capacity. You know, in Acts 6, it's interesting, isn't it, in Acts 6? You know what I love about Acts 6? Is that in Acts 6, you got the seven guys who step up to overseeing the widow distribution that release the apostles into what God had for them to do next. But you know, behind that, there are a whole bunch of other people who were doing their thing. And someone had to finance the food. It didn't just happen. And the apostles were broke, so it probably wasn't them. So somewhere in the background of all of that, the business people or whoever, the widow with the two mites, whoever it is, financing what was going on. And so whatever it looks like to be the capacity on team, leading, financing, all of those things, I just encourage you in that. And then the fourth thought here really simply is just not only that, but build it. Build the capacity. Bring someone along with you. You know what I love about the Logans? The family's all in. It's not just Kerry and Andy's story. One day their kids will be telling the story of what God did in their time. And I know that's true because I've watched that happen, but they brought their kids along for the journey. And here's the thing. They were bringing their kids along for the journey whether Kerry was a pastor or not. Like, that was happening before she was a pastor in terms of their own life. That was always going to happen for their children. Who can we bring along? And maybe it's your kids. Yeah. And maybe it's your neighbour and your friend and whoever, but bring them along. My kids, sometimes they would end up on too many rosters. It's like, go to the pastor's kids. And so I'd get in the office on Monday with the staff and go, hey, my kids aren't the answer to your team. Like, they're kids, remember that. And then my kids would find out and go, Dad, just leave us alone. We're good. And I'd say, okay, well, you tell me when you're not good because I'll manage that backwards for you. And they go, yeah, Dad, no worries, it's all good. Yeah. But they're in the journey. They come along for the journey. Your kids, don't apologize for the journey. One of the great things that you can teach them is to involve in the work of God. Yeah, I'll tell you what a lesser thing would be for them to do. Just do their life. It'll be a lesser because God's called you and he's called me to kingdom purpose for such a time as this. And it happens to be that now's the time, this is the place, you're the person. It's not when you get back home. It's not when you finish your time in Armidale. That's not how it works. Every season is an opportunity to steward to the full of our ability what God is doing next. Some of you know, I went through a difficult season a little while back. But I recognised right at the start of that that this was as much a season to steward as any season I got to lead. And the reality is that it probably became more important than any of them. What's happened since that season's passed and what's opened up all came out of that season. If you're here for a short time, now's the time. You are the person. This is the place. Steward the season and watch God build his church. And so I encourage you around that. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to call you what God made you for. I'm trying to help you go where you will be glad you did. You know, there's not a day I wake up and regret that I've lived fully for God. Have I been unwise? Have I gone too hard? Yes, but you've got Kerry as a pastor. She's not wired like me. She's not going to press you too hard. When I took some time off a little while ago, the first question Mike asked Bron, our executive pastor, he said, is Dad's coming back full-time or still part-time and doing all the other stuff? And Bron went, well, part-time. He went, that's good. We'll move forward a sustainable way. Our pastors care. I care too, but I just got issues. So, your pastor cares. You're not going to get burnout around here. Like, put your hand up if you know that's true. Who's been around a while? Is Kerry going to work you in a way that burns you out? I mean, you have one service on a Sunday. How hard can she work you? Right? It's not in her nature. There's nothing to fear here. She's a master of rhythm. She believes in Sabbath. She values the family. But at the same time, she's building the church in a sacrificial way that brings faith in what God's doing and says, I'm up for the journey. And so you and I, who are you bringing along? Make that bold move. And I want to leave you with this simple prayer. I think it's a bold prayer. I'm going to pray it in a minute. I'm going to ask you to stand in a moment. And I'm going to ask you to say amen at the end of it. You can do what you want with it. If you can't say amen in your heart, ask yourself hard questions when you get home. But if you can, let's go on the next stage of the miracle journey that is your story. And here's the prayer. God, move me with holy discontent for where things are at, and stir me with mission conviction for what can be. Hey, celebrate. Take time to celebrate everything he's done. That's really important. And if I had 2 weeks, I would have done this in two parts and I would have put that in the first point. But I didn't, so I had to jump, celebrate, and move to here, but you shouldn't. Celebrate. And then God, move me, move me. I'm praying this prayer too. I'm praying this prayer on the way up here today. I'm praying this prayer across the week. God, move me with holy discontent for where things are at. Not because they're bad, because there's more. And stir me with mission conviction for what can be. In Jesus' name. Will you stand with me? I want to pray that prayer. I'm going to ask you to amen at the end. I think Bron's preaching next week, so the Bible will be back. But right now, I just want to bring something I hope is inspired by the Holy Spirit that speaks to your heart and mind. And so will you close your eyes just for a moment? And just let silence settle. Holy Spirit, we know you're here. You say you are. And so I pray you'd move, Lord, even now, in the hearts and minds of us, your people, with a sense of what you're up to. That which contradicts or confirms the words that I've spoken, Lord, it's what you're up to. So we come to seek that and to yield to that. And so I pray for everybody in the room, there'd be a rally of heart and mind to the God-appointed future that you call us to as a church. And so my prayer is that you would move us all with holy discontent, Lord, around where things are at, and that you'd stir us, God, with mission for conviction for what can be. We thank you for all you've done, and now we set on what's ahead in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, God bless you. Take a seat. How are we going? We're right. Yeah, good.
Thank you, Daz.
I might pinch that. Thank you, sir. Barbara, I was thinking of you. You were the person who came to my mind. I don't know what God's got for you to do. And I know you do important things. You just keep open. I think he's going to speak to you. I'm not trying to manipulate, you know, I can't. But if he has or if he does, all I would say, my friend, is make it yes before you can breathe your next breath. Yeah. Just yes, God, whatever that is. And I realize I say that and he might say, move to Sydney before you breathe your next
don't
breath.
Don't go. That's not the yes. Lord.
I don't think that is either. I'm just being transparent. I don't expect that's what it is, but I want you to know. But before your next breath, when it comes, I reckon it'll come to you from left field and you'll go, oh, that's God. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes, God, let it be. Amen.
All right. Awesome. Over to you, boss.
Thank you so much, Daz. Couple of questions. Oh, I wanted to let you know, you were just talking about, expansive in the sense that we go beyond this room because there's so many people from different countries and different places in the world. I just want to fill you in that Susan is actually church planting in Uganda as we speak. And yesterday, 52 people put their trust in Jesus for the first time. So it's happening. Yeah. It's already happening. So we praise God for that.
Praise God.
He is already at work. So I've got a couple of questions just to start with. And if you are keen to ask Daz anything, just in the next like 10 minutes, anything that, about what he's spoken about this morning, you can text a question to this number on the screen here. So first one, Dazza, is how can someone know that they are actually at a place where it's a new season to expand? Like, how do you know? What's the...
For a church or for a person?
For a person, yeah.
For a person. That's a good question. Well, I would say for me, I can only speak from experience on this one. I get worried when a person's new season begins before the old season has come to pass.
And what do you mean by that?
I mean that someone says, and I've seen this, and I'll explain. It's like, I feel called to start a prayer revival. But sorry, I'm not trying to... I believe in revival with all my heart. You heard my story, my balcony story. Like, I am locked in on my knees 30 years, God... I'll serve you like flat out for the next 30 years, you know. So, but someone might have an idea in their heart. They're going to start, let's say, a coffee ministry, and they can tell you what it's going to be and what it's going to look like. And then 6 months in, because trouble comes their way or whatever, they're out. Now that could happen once, but when that becomes the pattern, you've got to ask yourself, is this really God?
Yeah.
Like, because if you look scripturally, God builds brick upon brick, line upon line, right? Platform upon platform. And that's why, you know, I talked about the season I went through. So every season I try and look and go, okay, I don't know what's going on. You know, I'll have a word or no word or whatever. And I'm just going, okay, well, how do I steward right here to the fullest of my ability? And it's very rarely that God moves me into the next thing before that's done.
Yeah.
And getting in the grind of that, because most moves of God, that, and I've read about, you know, it's an obsession. So I've read that most moves of God, there are two things you can see. There'll always be prayer, or three. There'll always be harvest seed, gospel seed in the ground of the generation, normally. And third, there'll be the work that is making the move of God possible, but it's inglorious.
Yeah.
Like for Nehemiah, it's a wall.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most inglorious move of God you've ever seen. But we read back and go, man, they rebuilt the wall, they rebuilt the temple, they rebuilt the city. How good was it to be there then? I'm like, really, was it? Or did they go without pay and sacrifice for their kingdom? They had their kids on the wall with them.
Yeah.
And they're building this wall out of stone and rubble with 100 years defying that they could get it done. And that's the move of God. And so I'm like, hey, just get in the grind. I think that's what I've learned to do. I usually think, okay, whatever I say next, 10 strong, 1,000, 350, all of that, usually it's about 7.5 years. So I come up with an idea when I felt like 10 strong was the future. I thought, okay, I'm giving a decade of grind.
Yeah.
If it's not happening after that, I'll be like, okay, God, maybe I got it wrong. I'm working on something now, which you know about, which is gearing up. But you know, I've worked for a long time on those principles and that stuff with not one single outcome.
Yeah.
And now you're like, oh, hang on a minute. Right, no. And so I would say you just got to stay in the grind. And sometimes you've got to stay in the grind for months, and sometimes it's years. And if you're getting out of the grind before it's come to pass, I'd ask myself hard questions.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's awesome. And so for people who are very linear, probably like myself and probably others in the room, sometimes it feels like you must finish this season. There must be a clean finish. But it sounds like what you're saying is there's not always a clean finish of one season before you go to the next season. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh my gosh, how hard is it? I, I would say, you know, these are the things that drive me personally to prayer and fasting. Hey, if you want to, if you like, prayer and fasting is coming up and you're like, no, nobody's genuinely excited about that. If you want to be moved on it, I know Bron's going to release it, but what's your mate's name? John Mark Comer, yeah. His first session on fasting. If you go listen to it, the first session.
Amazing.
It's a game changer. And I literally went and blocked out fasting in my diary. I hate putting fasting in my diary. But it'll help you.
So good.
So sorry, the question was.
So the question was, sometimes there's not linear. Sometimes there's not a like clean finish of one season. And then, you know, we talk about finishing well all the time, finish well. Yeah. But sometimes it doesn't actually finish. There's it's almost like an expansion instead of in another season.
Yeah, it's true. It's not always a clear line. I would say, what we're doing now was, I went in, prayed and fasted. You know, Narrabri, I knew that if we did Narrabri, Narrabri was just going to be plain hard work for me personally. And there was no reason. I was the last person that the pastor would have picked. But in my heart, I'm like, oh, this is what God calls me to do, rebuild and beyond, you know. So I was 4 days into a fast when they rang and said, hey, will you take on the church? And I went, yeah, of course, yeah, no worries. But sometimes you're just going about your business, you've got to pray and fast about it. Sometimes still not sure, honestly, the port plant, I've been travelling there for 2 years, once a month. Usually I come here on a Sunday and then I drive to port and do port and then I drive home. And that's my circuit on the Sunday. So that's Bronnie's conviction. For me, I've just got peace on it. So it's not that real, it's not that line I'm used to. So I just got to go, okay, what do I know? Does this seem like God? Or does it seem right? And I do the best I can. But I think as long as, here's a good measure. If you're opting out because of difficulty or because of relationship, having friction, they're just bad options. Unless it's abuse. I'm not talking about I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you and I just don't get on so well. We do get on, by the way. But see it through. And sometimes you won't finish the season. That's fair enough. There are things we can't see that mean the season finishes early. You know, we talked about my tricky season. That season got finished on me. I had no say over that.
Yeah.
And so let's acknowledge all of that.
Yeah.
But as a general rule, if God gives you a word on what's going to be, stay with it until it comes to pass or until they tap you on the shoulder and say, we're done here. Yeah, but that'd be what I would do.
Great. So we've got a couple of questions just to finish up on the whole not yet. I feel like it's not yet kind of thing. So how do you move from that zone that you're in of I feel like... God wants me to do something, but it's not yet.
Yep.
To moving into what God wants you to do.
Yeah, so I'd say a couple of thoughts. I'd say sometimes there is a legitimate not yet zone. There are things, again, you have in your heart that, that scripture that I've used here before, Isaiah 58, 11 and 12, that was in my heart for 14 years. That's a long not yet zone.
Yeah.
But in between, I had to steward every season well.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're in a not yet zone. I would say if you're in a legitimate not yet zone, steward it to the fullest of your ability. That's what I would suggest.
Yeah.
Because most of what God is going to bring, is he's going to do something that is only him.
Yeah.
And again, we could run through Tamworth, Gunnedah, Armidale, Narrabri, right? We could run through what I do outside of here or the thing that I'm now doing, which looks like they're going to run out nationally. And literally they contacted me and said, oh, we want to run this out across the country.
Right.
Right? And no, I had all these things in my heart. I built capacity in. I did what I preached.
Yeah.
And then God moves in a way that I can't manufacture. And so I would say that, steward the season well. Prepare. There's always a preparation you can do in the season you're in for what you feel called to.
Yeah.
It starts here with what's in your hand, right? Always.
Yeah.
So.
Totally. And one statement, not a question.
Yeah.
It says, thank you, Daz, for leading that season so well and showing how to navigate difficult times with grace and integrity.
That's very good.
thank you to whoever that was.
Yeah,
probably
you.
Rhonda.
Yeah, probably.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, I wonder if you could just pray for us as we finish up, Daz.
Yeah, I'd love to pray for you. I really want to pray for your Vision Sunday. Sometimes Vision Sundays, you're rolling into the next year, it's just a little bit of focus. and other times you're rolling into a year and it's a God-appointed season, like that really, it's a pivotal moment. Yeah. And you know, I believe in hearing your heart, I know that you are convinced. I think Tamworth, Armidale and Gunnedah are all there. And so I'd love to pray for that. So let's, are we going after we pray?
We are.
Yeah. All right, let's stand then. Heavenly Father, we're grateful, God. We're grateful for lives and blessing, and we recognize all that's good, family and friends and jobs and provision and all that you've given us to enjoy. We acknowledge that. And in the midst of all of that, we thank you for the call of God on us personally and as a church. We thank you for everyone that feels called to something specific in this season, and we commit them to you, Lord, whatever it is. And Lord, and so we commit them to you, that you would help them to know just by the promptings of your Spirit, Lord, when a thing is done, when it's getting the grind, when it's keep going, you're at work in the background. I just pray for that sense in everybody's life that has something going on, whether it's leading a ministry they're being called to or a job they're in or whatever it is, Lord, we commit them to you. And we pray as a church, I pray even now, Lord, you do that work that I feel like all I'm doing is responding to what you want to do. Rally the hearts of people to the things you call us to, that there might be salvation and there might be disciples and there might be a church here in this community that not only is within its community, but for its community, that when people think church, they'd be able to think this church, not because it's more important, but because it's so effective, because it loves, because it's expansive. And so, God, we commit everyone to you. Pray for everybody going into their workplace and their sphere of influence. Lord, I pray this year they'd carry, Lord, a fresh anointing of your presence and power. Lord, that has words in season, words that speak to the things unseen, Lord, in people's lives. And, Lord, we pray for gospel boldness in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.
We're going to head out for some morning tea if you would like someone to pray with you over here in this corner. God bless you. Happy Sunday.